Bob, warning. This is a first alert. Drones of unknown origin are approaching 8 minutes out. Miko was no longer using her not-so-subtle sexy siren voice. Instead, a deeper and somewhat ominous authoritative voice sounded the warning, one of many voices Bob had programmed for Miko. All three turned to look toward the speakers as if they were looking at a person speaking to them.
"Miko, how many drones?"
Bob asked.
"There are two approaching, following the driveway."
"Can you identify them?"
"The first vehicle with two occupants is from the Flagstaff Police Department. The second vehicle has corporate tags but is not identifiable. There are two occupants in it as well."
"Here they come. It's Nate and his gaggle of college cop preppies."
Bob stood, but it was apparent he did not know where to go or what to do. Dancer did, however. She had an innate ability to take charge in a tough situation. She reacted without allowing her emotions an equal voice, taking immediate control.
"Okay, here we go, boys and girls. Bob, you know the drill. Everything you need is in the cave. Go lock yourself in and do not, I repeat, do not come out for any reason. Aaron, ever want to do theater? Well, regardless, here is your chance to see if you can act. Just sit back, relax, and look bored. Remember, we haven't seen Bob since we took him to the airport, right? What was that, 2 days ago? No, make it yesterday. I almost forgot. He picked you up at the station."
Dancer spoke quickly as she headed to the kitchen to get a beer. Slipping into character, she tried to set the stage for Aaron.
"Hun, you want a beer?"
she asked calmly.
Miko announced, "There are visitors at the door."
Dancer got up, and as she slowly walked toward the door, she felt a surge of adrenaline pump through her veins.
"Oh, crap. I hope Miko listened in on our plan about his being gone."
Dancer pulled her shoulders back, then straightened up, composed herself, and continued toward the door.
"I got this,"
she told herself and opened the door as though expecting to see a friend.
"Oh, I thought you would be Margaret,"
she said, using the first name that popped into her head.
"Can I help you, gentlemen?"
"Ma'am, are you the owner of the property?"
the older detective asked.
"Well, no, that would be Bob, but he's not here. Can I help you?"
"No, ma'am. Can you tell us when he will be back?"
Nate was old school, standing firmly, weight balanced on both feet, and standing slightly closer than he needed to. Close enough for Dancer to smell the peppermint gum he was chewing.
"Well, to be truthful, officer, I am not sure. We dropped him off at the airport yesterday. I know he was going up to Canada, something about following up on a lead about his cousin, Carrie. She apparently is his only living relative, and he wanted to visit her, you know, before it was too late."
Dancer spoke from a very relaxed position, weight on one foot and hips to the side, but not budging an inch from her personal space, space that Nate was deliberately encroaching upon.
"I thought her name was Gina."
"Pardon me?"
Dancer replied, surprised by the answer.
Nothing, sorry. Ma'am, can you tell me what kind of car he was driving?"
"Yes, I can. He drives an older, metallic gray Tesla Mars Trekker."
"I apologize, ma'am, for not asking first. You are?"
"My name is Mary. Mary Madeline Murphy. But you can call me Dancer, as I wouldn't even hear you if you spoke the other name."
"And you? You are?"
Dancer countered, staying cool in the cat-and-mouse exchange.
Ma'am, sorry. Dancer. I'm Detective Nathaniel Brewster. I'm with the UIIB. You can call me Nate, since we are now on a first-name basis."
The young man, sitting so quietly over on the couch.
"He would be?"
he said, pointing. For the briefest second, Dancer flinched, not prepared for that question. But before she could answer, Miko spoke.
"Dancer, another vehicle is approaching."
Dancer was caught off guard again, first because Miko had used her name as if Bob were not on premises, and second,
that there was another vehicle coming up the drive.